Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Life Poor Podcast. This is Minister Brandon Howard, and I welcome you and greet you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm so excited that you're with me on this evening. I thank you for listening to this episode, our second episode of this awesome, awesome experience. And in this episode, we're going to talk about identity. And I'm so excited about this podcast because it touches on, you know, something we all face in our lives at least once before, and identity crisis. In fact, the title of this episode is Identity Crisis: Know Who You Are in Christ. So before we get started, let us open up in prayer. Spirit of the living God, help us now as we pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, glorify you, God. We thank you, God, for this day that you have made. We're truly rejoicing, we're glad in it. Thank you, God, for allowing us to see this day and wake us up this morning and start us on our way's journey, God. We thank you, God, for just continuing to be with us all throughout this day, Father God. We thank you, God, for this podcast experience, Father God. We thank you, Father, for the listeners who are listening to this episode under the sound of my voice. We thank God for all the many blessings you bestow to all of us, Father God. We thank God for your love. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross, so we may have a right to eternal life. And so, Father, this evening, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we pray for your presence. You said in your word, where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. So we thank you for your presence on this evening. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would use me for your glory, Father God. I get out the way, and Holy Spirit, you take over. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will increase in me as I decrease. Use my lips to speak your word with authority on this evening. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that the words that are spoken on this evening will fall on fertile ground, on good ground, on good soil. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that those who are listening will be encouraged by this episode. And those who are not saved, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will come forward after they hear something in this episode and ask, what must I do in order to be saved? Father, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome. And again, the topic or the title for this episode is Identity Crisis: Know Who You Are in Christ. And as we talk about identity, we need to really define what an identity crisis is. And I did my research before this episode in regards to what an identity crisis is. And I found a couple definitions for identity crisis. The first definition I found using Google is an identity crisis is a period of uncertainty and confusion in which a person's sense of identity becomes insecure, typically due to a change in their expected aims or role in society. Now, I think that's a pretty interesting definition for an identity crisis because it's true in a lot of respects, because when we do have an identity crisis, we become insecure because we really don't know who we are when we have an identity crisis. Another definition I found for identity crisis is that an identity crisis refers to an internal conflict or search for identity. And that is a true definition also, because when we think of an identity crisis, you know, when we go through an identity crisis, there's an internal struggle that's taking place inside of us. There's an internal conflict that's going on here. And we are searching for our identity. And a lot of times we search for our identity in the wrong places or wrong things or even people. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes here. So when we look at these definitions for an identity crisis, there's a couple things that we can really take away from these definitions. The first is, when we have an identity crisis, we truly don't know who we are. Or better yet, we don't really understand who we are and why we were created in the first place. And that leads to another thing that we can take away from this, is that when we have an identity crisis, not only we don't know who we are, but we also don't know who we belong to. And that's a deep and powerful statement there, that when we have an identity crisis, we don't know who we belong to. That is very interesting here. So there are a lot of sources of an identity crisis. The first source of an identity crisis is that we place our identity in the wrong things or people, as I mentioned earlier. And a lot of things that we place our identity in could be anywhere from our athletic ability. You know, we may, you know, play a particular sport, whether it's football or baseball or run track or mixed martial arts or whatever the sport is. A lot of times we place our identity based upon the sport that we participate in. Another thing is the money we make. A lot of times we may, you know, place our identity to the fact that, you know, we may be a millionaire or whatever type of money that we make. That's where we place our identity in. Another place where we place our identity in is the house or the neighborhood we live in. And a lot of times you may hear people say, well, I live in this neighborhood, I live in that neighborhood, or I have this type of house or that type of house, and so on and so forth. And they place their identity in that type of thing, the house or the neighborhood that they live in. You know, I live in this house and I live in this neighborhood, so my identity is this. I'm this type of person. Another place where we place our identity in is the car that we drive. Now, trust me, I like cars. You know, everything from the BMWs to your Mercedes-Benzes, and also my dream car, which is the Lamborghini. You know, and a lot of times, a lot of people place their identity in the particular car that they drive. Another place or area where we place our identity in is who we are dating or married to. A lot of guys I know may place their identity based upon the woman they're dating. You know, if they're dating a model, you know, they may place their identity, you know, on their manhood or whatever, their identity, in the fact that they're dating some type of model. Or even, you know, ladies, you know, they place their identity in because of the fact that they're dating or married to a professional athlete. It happens. You know, it does happen. Another place in which I find very interesting, which the Holy Spirit gave to me, is that we sometimes can place our identity in the church that we attend. Now, a lot of people may recognize me when I'm out and about, you know, doing my shopping and, you know, getting gas or wherever I am. 9 times out of 10, it happens a lot where someone from our church may recognize me and say, hey, you go to Hopewell, don't you? Or, hey, you're a minister at Hopewell. And they identify me based upon the fact that they know me and see my face at Hopewell, the church that I serve at. And that's very interesting because a lot of people may place their identity on the fact that they attend this church or this Missionary Baptist Church or, you know, that Church of God in Christ, you know, so on and so forth. A final place where we place our identity in is, and this is very, very interesting to me as well, is our positions at work and or church. Lots of people are caught up into the position that they have, whether they're at work or at church, and they get so caught up on, you know, being that top salesperson at a particular company or the top engineer in that particular company or, you know, the top doctor at a particular hospital or clinic. And or they may place their identity upon their position at church. You know, they may be the deacon at the church, or they may be a minister at the church, or an elder. They place their identity upon the position that they have. So those are the places where we place our identity in a lot of times. And these are places are the wrong places or wrong things or the wrong people that we place our identity in. So therefore, we have an identity crisis. Another source of an identity crisis is the fact that our identity is stolen by Satan. And what do I mean by that? Well, how does Satan steal our identity? Well, Satan steals our identity because of the fact that he speaks to us also and tells lies and uses our mind, you know, and gives thoughts to our mind, thoughts that are totally contrary to the word of God and what God says about us. And a lot of times when our identity is stolen, when we believe what the lies that the enemy says about us and who we are. And if you remember, the job of Satan is to kill, steal, and destroy. And John 10, verse 10 tells us that. And the part, the stealing part is that he wants to steal our identity. He does not want us to know who we are in Jesus Christ. And when we don't know who we are in Jesus Christ, there's no way we can win against him. He has us. So that's another reason why it's so important for us to really know and understand whose we are and who we belong to. Another thing is that when we believe and dwell on what Satan says about us, we totally reject what God says about us in his word. And God has a lot to say and has said a lot about who we are in him. And I'm so excited because we're going to talk about that in a few minutes here. Another source of an identity crisis is what we believe what others say about us. And people, our haters, will say a lot of things about us. A lot of it is negative. And we have a choice to believe what our haters say about us, or we have a choice not to believe what they say about us. And a lot of times when we believe what the haters say about us, again, we totally reject what God, what thus says the Lord about his creation, which is us. And the final source of an identity crisis is our past mistakes and failures. And when we all sin and fall short of God's glory, we all are going to make mistakes. We're not going to get it right every time. We're going to maybe say the wrong thing at the wrong time, or we may do the wrong thing. It happens because we still live in the flesh. We still are human. But the problem is when we allow our past mistakes and failures to dictate who we are, and when we identify ourselves by the mistakes we made, then we have an identity crisis and we need to dial 911, you know, to heaven as soon as possible. So those are the things, the sources of an identity crisis here. But I don't want to dwell on the bad news and dwell on an identity crisis. I want to encourage each and every one of us here with the help of the Holy Spirit to tell us who we are in Christ and where our identity lies in. First and foremost, I want to encourage you that your identity is in Jesus Christ. Your identity is in God the Father. In fact, you have godly DNA in you. Well, you may be asking, well, Minister Brandon, how do you know that? How do you know that I have godly DNA in me? Well, simply because he created you. He created you with purpose. He created you fearfully and wonderfully. And I have some Bible verses that will back me up here. Now I'm going to the first one here. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. And it reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And what God wants us to know and encourage us with is the fact that he created us. He created you with purpose. He created you in his own image. He is your creator. He is your heavenly Father. He created you in his likeness. So therefore, you have God's DNA in you, my brother and sister in Christ, my brother and sister. You have God's DNA in you because he created you. I want to also speak on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. And here, God is speaking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a young man at that time, like he was a teenager, and God was ordaining Jeremiah to become a prophet, you know, for the nation of Israel. And God told Jeremiah in verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So what God is saying here, what he told Jeremiah is that before I created you, I knew you. I knew all about you. And before you came into this world out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And not only did I sanctify you, I ordained you already with a purpose. And that purpose for Jeremiah is to be a prophet unto the nations. And so my brother and my sister, I want to share with you that God knew you before you came upon the scene. God knew you before you came out of your mother's womb. And not only did he create you and knew you before you came out of your mother's womb, but he sanctified you and ordained you as well for whatever purpose he has for your life. And that is so exciting. You ought to be excited about that, that the creator of heaven and earth, who created everything, who has everything, who created everything, created you and knew you before you were born, knew you before you became who you are today. And that's exciting to me. I hope and I pray that you're excited and encouraged by that fact. Another scripture I want to share with you is 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And it reads, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, we have something great inside of you, inside of us. You have something great inside of you, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. God gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide us. And so the Holy Spirit is greater than the one that's out here that's causing all this havoc in the world. So that's why we can defeat him. That's why we can fight our battles against him, because God has planted his Holy Spirit in us to lead and guide us. Again, you're created with purpose, and you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. So you belong to God. If you don't get anything from this episode, I want you to get the fact that God created you with purpose, and his Holy Spirit dwells within you. Amen. There are some other things that God says about you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I want to read this from the NIV version, because the NIV version makes it very clear and very plain for us. And it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." So not only did God create you with purpose, but he has plans for you to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope in the future. So I want to encourage you, no matter what it is you're going through, God has a plan for you. He created you with purpose. And I don't know what that purpose is for your life. However, I do know that the purpose that God has for you is to give you hope in the future. You are created fearfully and wonderfully, and God loves you. And he placed you and created you with his plan, his purpose for your life. Another verse I want to encourage you with is one of my favorites, Psalm 139, verse 14. And you heard me say many times about being fearfully and wonderfully made, and this is where this comes from. And it says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." And again, it proves to us that God created us fearfully and wonderfully. God created you fearfully and wonderfully. And we ought to praise God for creating us. He did not create junk. You know, the Bible says that when he, in Genesis, where everything that God created, he said it was good. When he created man, he said he was good. So in God's eyes, we are good because of Jesus Christ. So Romans 8:37 is another verse I want to encourage you with that says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So you are a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror, in fact. No matter what it is you went through in your past, the mistakes that you made, the failures that you went through, you are more than a conqueror. And I also want to speak to someone who's going through something right now. You're going to make it out because you are more than a conqueror. God created you to be more than a conqueror. God created you to prosper, you know, in health and wealth and all those type of things. God created you with purpose. He created you to become more than a conqueror, to go through, not just to go through, get through, but to prosper through whatever it is you're going through. And here's another one of my favorite verses. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are priest and royalty. You are princesses and princes. You are a royal priesthood. You are royalty. God created you as royalty. In fact, when it says a peculiar people, does not mean that you're strange or anything like that. That means you're unique. So God created you to be unique, not like anyone else. You know, you may be different from me, and I'm different from you, but you're created with purpose. You're created in a unique way. God created you with unique talents, unique gifts, and unique purpose for your life. So be confident and be encouraged the fact that God chose you, that you are royalty, that you are a royal priesthood. You're holy. That means you're separated. You're by God, and you're peculiar. You're unique. You're a unique being because God created you. We ought to praise God for the way he created us and the gifts he blessed us with as well. And finally, I want to read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, because this says it all to me. It puts away any type of doubt that you have about who you are in Christ. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that we go through with an identity crisis, sources of identity crisis is what we believe what others say about us. Others may come to us and say, well, you did this, you did that, you know, so on and so forth. You call yourself a Christian. Well, you did this and you know, I remember you when you did, you know, smoke weed, or I remember when you used to drink, or, you know, when you slept with different girls and, you know, all those type of things. Well, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. It means your past is past. It passed away. There's nothing in the world you can do about your past. You have to reconcile your past so you can become new in Christ, so you can have a future in Christ. So you are a new creation in Christ. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, that you're not a child of God. Yes, you are a child of the Most High God, because God created you in Genesis 1, 26 through 27. In fact, he told you that you are a new creature in Christ and that your past has passed away and everything about you is completely new. And you are more than a conqueror, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. and God has created you fearfully and wonderfully. Not praying in the name of Jesus that you will hold on to those truths there, as I encourage you to know who you are in Christ. Finally, I want to say that Jesus gave us our identity by dying on the cross. He shed his blood so that we may have eternal life. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our identity is in him. Our identity is in God, the one who created us. Our identity is in the one who shed his blood for us. So with that being said, it's my prayer that you get your identity back. Get back your identity from the devil. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. Know that you are a winner. Know that you are fearfully, wonderfully made. Know that you are a child of the Most High God. Know that you are more than a conqueror. Know that you are a royal priesthood. Know that you are chosen. Know that you are a holy nation. Know that you're peculiar. And most importantly, know that you are truly loved by the one that created heaven and earth. With that being said, I'm going to close this out in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for sharing with us that our identity is in you, Father God. And Father, I just pray for my listeners, Father God. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you encourage them and let them know that you love them, Father God, and that you and they are created fearfully and wonderfully, Father God, and their identity is placed in you, not in material things and not in human people, Father God, but their identity is placed in you. And Father, I pray for those who may not know you as their Lord and Savior. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will open their hearts to want to come forth and ask, what must I do in order to be saved? Father, I love you. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. It is my prayer that you've received what God will have you receive in this episode. I pray that this episode has been encouraging to you. This episode has truly been an encouragement to me. I'm encouraged to know that my identity is in the one who created me. I know that for sure. And there's no one in the world that can tell me otherwise. I'll stand on the mountaintops and say, I belong to God the Father. My identity is in Jesus Christ. Feel free to contact me. You can contact me through my Instagram page at @men_bhoward. You can also contact me through email, Brandon@BrandonJHoward.com. You can also listen to this podcast on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public. Well, my brothers and sisters, it's been awesome. It's been great. It's been a blessing. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you be blessed throughout the rest of this week. Know that God loves you, and so do I. Until the next time, I grant you grace and peace. God bless. Oh,